Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
IHRB have banned Gordon Elliott for essentially 6 months. It's a 12-month ban, but the final 6 months have been suspended, and with reaction to this, it's only broken in the last hour or so. We have Johnny Ward and Tom Malone with us. Johnny, we were on Friday Night Racing a little bit earlier on today at 3 o'clock, as we are every Friday afternoon on all of our social channels, speculating about what the outcome might be. And I think the 6 months was kind of expected in some ways.
Yeah, it's probably about where the line would have been in terms of what he might have gotten. I thought 3 to 6 months or something like that. The 6 months and 6 months suspended, you know, seems to reflect, I guess, the severity of the damage done to racing. If you can come up with some sort of punishment that adequately would cover it. I think, you know, it's well worth people reading the press release from the Turf Club, the IHRB, because it does go into the issues involved. And Gordon Elliott's statement tonight, I think, is very significant. It's an admission that is not unrelated to stuff that Ted Walsh would have said the other day on the radio, that, you know, maybe Gordon just needs to step back and take stock, not only of what happened here, but just his life in general. He alluded to the fact that he's not the young kid who was in Tony Martin's all those years ago, and maybe that he does need to reach that conclusion in his life now, that this is the jolt that he needed, and hopefully he can revive his career. But I suppose the most significant thing is he just seems to be taking it on the chin.
I accept my situation and my sanction, and I'm satisfied with my engagement with the IHRB. It's not an easy job to sit in the panel, but I was dealt with fairly, was the start of his statement on Twitter this evening. I'm in this situation by my own action, and I'm not going to dodge away from this. With my position in the sport, I have great privileges and great responsibility. I did not live up to that responsibility. I'm no longer the teenage boy who first rode a horse at Tony Martin's 30 years ago. I'm an adult with obligations and a position in a sport I've loved since I first saw horses race. I'll give you a bit more of that in a moment. But Tom Malone, I've been doing a quick cursory glance at social media, and there are two entrenched camps. There is the camp who thought that, he paid a huge price this week. The punishment, difficult job for people to get that punishment right. Let's move on. And then there is the other camp who still want him to be hung, drawn and quartered for what he did.
Yeah, and I think the latter camp will never be satisfied, no matter what happens here. I mean, my own sense will be similar to Johnny's, in that this would seem like it's what could be done. And, you know, that I suppose they're giving themselves a bit of wiggle room just in case there were further images or anything like that to come out that could further, you know, bring damage to the game and the reputation of the game with the sort of 6 month suspended element to it. Interesting part about it's part of a sustained campaign of towards Gordon Elliott, which I thought was an interesting part that they included in the statement.
Let me read that, Tom, because in case anybody missed this, and I know a lot of people driving whatever this evening won't be looking at the full statement. This is back to the IHRB statement. In the view of the committee, there is also a sinister aspect to this case. The committee are satisfied that the publication of this photograph is part of a concerted attack upon Mr. Elliott, the full circumstances of which are unknown. This has been canvassed not for the purpose of defence or absolution, but in order to explain the publication at this time of a photograph which has existed since 2019. I mean, wow, there's like, when the 30 for 30 comes to be made of this episode, and they get to the bottom of that, that's going to be an interesting second chapter. To be honest, I don't know what relevance it has. It's a really weird thing to include in the statement from the body handing down the punishments.
Yeah, that was it. And it's not a very long statement. I mean, you think it's something like, you know, similar instance we've had with disciplinary in the IHRB, and you get reams and reams and reams and reams of details. But this is just, you know, it's a four-pager that's been stuck on Twitter, and they decided to include that paragraph. So, yeah, I just thought it was an interesting addition. Another part is that Mr. Elliott has offered no credible explanation to us. So perhaps that would suggest that he dropped the initial apology as part of his evidence.
Yeah, which somebody, you know, that was wise, not repeating the fact that the horse was there as a seat to sit down around when the phone rang. That didn't make any sense, and it was good not to repeat that. Johnny, the talking points in the statement suggest that there was a lot of things to consider, and we've been teasing them out all week. It's the balancing act between punishing somebody for an act which has caused outrage in the world beyond the sport, and so therefore damaged the sport, and who knows what the knock-on long-term impact of that is. That's a huge part of it. And then the other side of it is people's jobs and livelihoods, and his own health actually came up for Dr. Pugh. The committee also bears in mind the evidence from Dr. Pugh of the effect on his health. A difficult balancing act to get right, but I don't know. People are going to say one side or the other, yes, definitely, no, definitely. I think it's about right.
Yeah, well, I mean, the category that you mentioned in the first place, the want of hung, drawn and quartered, I mean, what more do they want at this stage? He did something stupid on a horse that was deceased. He completely regrets it. The biggest mistake he made, to my mind, I just think that statement he made on Sunday was an absolute own goal, and I think if he hadn't made that statement, and whoever advised him really shouldn't have, because if he hadn't made that statement and if he'd come out as he did subsequently, I think there would have been a lot more sympathy for him. But he's very contrite. He's definitely, you can tell from that statement today, he's very sorry for what he did. You know, the IHRB didn't have any precedent in this regard. When Davy Russell was videoed punching a horse down at Start of Tramore a few years ago, I think he got 4 days. Now, there was a lot of kind of an outcry at that time, but you know, we are in extraordinary times there. You know, social media has never been as strong, and with the pandemic, nearly everyone is online, and people are very, very quick to jump on something that they're angry about. And this is an interesting case because there's no doubt there is an element of trial by social media about this, because the Turf Club, or the IHRB, was just very, very conscious of how much bad publicity this generated. Whereas if it didn't generate this sort of bad publicity, and if it had, you know, happened at a time when we were worried about something else, maybe he would have gotten a lesser ban. So we can only speculate because there's no precedent. But I think the IHRB is in a position where it's been under a lot of pressure itself over Viking Horde and so forth. It's been under pressure over a very bad start for Race at Naas that was farcical. It had, been the subject of a lot of scrutiny, negative commentary, really, and to me it's come out quite strong here, but it was predictable that it would, because it needed to send a message, and I guess the BHA will welcome it as well, because it has been putting pressure on it by basically suspending his runners in Britain pending the investigation.
Well, look, that's interesting, and I just need to get into that. But just before we do, though, it seemed to me like a deal had been struck between Elliott's camp and the IHRB that he wouldn't appeal, that he's going to accept this straight away, that he's not going to appear at a point-to-point, that he's not going to go racing for 6 months. They welcome that part of his admission. So this is the end of the story as far as the IHRB are concerned. There won't be an appeal. There's no mention of there's a grounds for appeal or he's going to appeal. He's taken his punishment, and everybody, it seems, is trying to draw a line under this.
Yeah, because he's more than entitled to appeal this, and you know, his legal team could make a very strong case that, you know, 6 months is entirely disproportionate to the act. So there seems to be some sort of an admission from Gordon that maybe he's been advised by friends and so forth that it wouldn't be bad to just take stock anyway and reflect on what's happened and come back fresher in 6 months. But the obvious question now is what happens to his horses in terms of the Cheltenham runners, Abcadabras and so on, who's, you know, owned by Michael O'Leary, and that remains to be seen.
Yeah, Tom, just one point on the British response to this. Paul Hayward, the noted sports journalist, has been on Twitter saying that the BHA have within their power to do something to Gordon Elliott. They could ban him for a year if they like. I was unaware of that. Or they could not accept his entries for a fixed period of time. So maybe there is still one aspect of this in terms of the length of the ban that hasn't yet been played out.
Yeah, perhaps, but I think a notable concession to the BHA by the IHRB would be the timing of the start of the ban. So normal procedure would be that it starts 2 weeks after the hearing, assuming there's no referral. They have brought that forward and they're starting the ban from the 9th of March. So that really helps the BHA, and it saves them any blushes, because they have really stepped out of their own lane here, and they decided to decline the entries from Gordon Elliott in the future. So the IHRB, by just moving that day to the 9th of March rather than what it should be, which is it should be from, you know, Saturday 2 weeks, which is the day after the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So the IHRB have helped the BHA in this aspect by bringing forward that ban to make sure that there was no embarrassment for them with horses travelling to Cheltenham and the like.
We spent all day waiting for the IHRB Twitter account to update, and we're going to spend the evening waiting for the British Horse Racing Authority Twitter account to update, because they've said in the last hour they're aware of the outcome of today's IHRB Referrals Committee hearing regarding Gordon Elliott. We will issue a statement in response this evening. So that's about the horses in Cheltenham, and that's about what length of ban he'll suffer in the UK. I'd say, you know, whatever about the ban, the imminent thing is the horses at Cheltenham. What options are open to any owner who has horses that are entered for Cheltenham but are currently trained by Gordon Elliott, who they want to continue sending there? What are the options, Tom?
They can just do like Sheeby Park did and moved into another trainer. But I mean, you're talking about several hundred horses. So if you're talking about the Cheltenham team, you're probably talking about the guts of 50 horses who will be heading to Cheltenham from Gordon Elliott's, who are non Sheeby Park owned. So it's quite a lot. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Gordon Elliott has surrendered very much here. So I wonder, is there an opportunity perhaps for him to hand his license over and maybe the staff to retain their jobs or something like that? So there's still another major play here, because the owners are who of Cheltenham Horses in particular are still left very much up in the air. I mean, it'll be intriguing to see if the IHRB have some sort of plan for them to come over the next while, whether that be maybe allow one of Gordon's assistants perhaps to take over the license. If Gordon has agreed to completely step away, and looks like he has, I mean, that, you know, that 6 month voluntary exclusion from race courses and point to points is a significant part. So he will be, you know, he will make himself invisible to official horse racing. So that's obviously a good part from an optics point of view. So it's just intriguing to see what happens next, whether maybe they can be transferred to another trainer. I mean, that's up to individual owners, but what happens to the staff and the operation itself? I mean, perhaps, you know, it could be a situation like a big football club where you change manager. I mean, that I don't know whether that's an option or not, though.
Yeah, there's also a community of people either working for Mr. Elliott or dependent on the business in the locality, which will suffer considerable adverse consequences. The committee believes that the sanction to be imposed must deter this type of behaviour. They were the last 2 points in the IHRB statement before they reached their conclusion, which was the ban for 6 months. Essentially, it's a 12-month ban with the final 6 months suspended, as Tom says. That's in case anything else emerges. And also then, they have insisted that he pay 15 grand in terms of the costs for the hearing. That's not actually a fine, that's costs. I see it being reported as a fine in various places, but obviously the people who did the hearing today in the IHRB have costs associated with the hearing today. Johnny, what do you think will happen? What will Michael O'Leary do? Will he want a new trainer to technically take over, but actually the team in that yard who know his horses so well to be the ones to bring them to Cheltenham and to Aintree? You've got to bear in mind as well that this is we're towards the end of the Michael O'Leary era in national hunt racing. He does not want those horses and the end of his string to not be successful.
No, it's funny as well. Just before, you know, we come on air earlier tonight, Charles Burns, a former horse trained by Charles Burns, those days are gone. One under the care now of William O'Doherty, who is a neighbour of Charles Burns, so he's taking care of those horses. So it's just an interesting example of a trainer who, you know, has been suspended, but essentially the horses can quickly move on and resume winning ways. In this instance, what I imagine will happen, I mean, there are a lot of logistical issues with you know, taking a scatter of horses and moving them to the yard. Even what's happened with you know, the Sheebly Park horses wouldn't be ideal, but I would imagine the situation here is that, and you kind of alluded to it yourself there, in the sense that Gordon has accepted the situation that maybe a licensed trainer will come in and take over the license and run what is a massive operation, a massive yard with so much staff, so many horses, and do that as seamlessly as possible. That would be my prediction. I spoke to David Jennings, who I imagine is doing a story on it now, and David Jennings has been working with Gordon doing interviews over the last few days, and my impression is that this has been decided, it just hasn't been revealed yet.
About what's happening next?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Johnny, good stuff. Tom Malone, thanks as well for all your coverage this week. Thanks, lads. That's the big story of the week, it turns out. Gordon Elliott has been banned for 12 months with the final 6 months suspended. He's been ordered to pay costs of 15 grand to the IHRB. We await with bated breath to see what their counterparts at the British Horse Racing Authority will do. Earlier in the week, though, they'd gone public about their desire to have the best horses appear at Cheltenham. And obviously, Gordon Elliott's yard has many of the best horses. So we'll see exactly what happens. And obviously, we'll be ramping up our own Cheltenham coverage in the coming days as we continue the countdown. It's only literally 2 weeks away at this point.
The OTB Podcast Network.